He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Aloha.
Aloha, Corey.
That's my name, and SNU, He Said, She Said, is our game. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of He Said, She Said. We are reporting live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, and I'm looking out the window right now in our apartment at the Kalalo Valley, the mountain range there, and it's just absolutely beautiful. Another spectacular day, another beautiful morning sunrise just over the ocean there. It's incredible. So what's on your mind, Trace?
Well, just another day in paradise. What can I say? Weather's getting a little bit tad cooler, which would be around 83, not 86. September is a really nice time of the year to come. It's about 86, but it's getting a little tad cooler, as I said, about 83. And in December, January is about 79, so it's very tolerable.
Right on. And for all you Canadians out there, remember that we are not engaged in the metric system in the United States. So we're talking about high 20s and 30s. That's what the temperature seems to hover at day by day here, month by month. So anyway, Trace, what's cooking?
What's cooking is papaya seed dressing. And y'all know that I was very excited about coming here and really wanted to get a recipe for papaya seed dressing. So when we're in the grocery stores, I'd look on the back of the labels of papaya seed dressings. I'd Google papaya seed dressings, and there's a lot of ingredients in there that are just not whole food that I wouldn't put in it. So I looked around 10 different recipes, and I got the gist of what the basic ingredients were, and then I did my own recipes, and away I go. It's just fantastic. So what I do, I basically revamped the recipe to a holly whole food recipe. So I make the everyday healthy salad dressing honey mustard. Now, the recipe for that is in my cookbook, or it's in our article section on the website under recipes. So it's the honey. What you do is you get a blender. You add everything in that you would make for the honey mustard dressing. Then what I do is I add a small yellow onion, whether it's a Maui onion, a sweet onion, a small yellow onion, or if it's a big onion, that's all you have, just use half of it. And I use the flesh of a half a papaya and the seeds of half a papaya. Then what I do is I blend it all in, and you can, if you like, add a dash of sea salt, if need be. And you blend it all up, and away you go, and you've got this really fantastic dressing. Now, instead of using lemon, sometimes I have used apple cider vinegar. It's wonderful tasting. However, the apple cider vinegar does have a much stronger flavor to it. Now, the papaya seeds are a bit peppery. So, but not really. I mean, as adults, we all like that peppery flavor. But you can use this recipe to marinate meat, fish, or chicken. You can use it on raw veggies. You can add it on top of a cooked meat, fish, or chicken. It is just all around absolutely delicious. You can just eat it by the tablespoon. It is so good. And I'm going to get my professional papaya seed connoisseur to find out how he thought it was.
Absolutely delicious, of course, like all of your recipes, homespun from nature. And keeping in mind that it's okay to take something whole and incorporate it into something that becomes a part of your recipe or your dinner, lunch, or breakfast, or shake, or whatever. The key is to bring in all of the micronutrients. I want to make a comment about the seeds. How many of your kids out there are eating seeds, seeds of anything? Now, all of my life that I have been involved with the health food, nutrition, science industry, they've always talked about seeds, about how seeds contain a life factor, a vital factor, how some researchers have focused on the nucleic acids and the essence of life, and now getting into genetic understanding that on a higher level, there's something unique about the seed. With current technology and manipulation through GMO, they're now creating seeds that actually grow a plant without seeds. So that forces the farmers to go to the corporations that provide them with the seeds. That's kind of scary. But I think that eating seeds is a good thing. Seeds and nuts that are wholesome in their original jacket or state. So here's a great way to introduce some seed value. And whether you're in the north up in Canada, down south in Florida, over in Australia, in New Zealand, South Africa, Europe, wherever you are, you can get access to a papaya. And blending the flesh, the fruit, into this dressing makes it into a creamy flavor that's just absolutely delicious. So, Trace, I have nothing but good to say about the papaya seed dressing.
Well, as we say, Tracy is good in the kitchen. Ha ha ha. Nonetheless, if you had a pumpkin and you scoop out the seeds of the pumpkin, you can also wash them off and roast the seeds in the oven and add sea salt or garlic salt or whatever. But yeah, seeds really are fantastic. So try that recipe and let me know. Send me an email and tell me what you think.
Good stuff. So let all of our dressings be nourishment for the body. You got to really watch those store-bought dressings, those commercial, conventionally produced dressings. They're just loaded with trans fats and sugar and alcohol and toxins and colors and dyes, fumigants, insecticides, pesticides, things that we don't want, that we want to minimize and get away from.
One more thing. What I do, I store the dressing, the everyday healthy salad dressing or the honey mustard, however you make it, the papaya seed dressing, in a screw-top glass jar. And it can last up to a week, so make sure you refrigerate it, though. What I like to do is, before I use my dressings, I leave it out on the counter for maybe 15 or 20 minutes, just so it gets that nice warm flavor. I always find that anything that's too hot or too cold, you don't really get the flavor.
Yeah, and this is a great way to store your wife. Just put her in a screw-top glass jar, throw her in the fridge, and she'll keep for about up to a week, provided you put enough air in the jar. And then when you require her services, you just pull her out of the fridge and she's available.
That's enough.
Okay, so there you go, guys. That's my tip of the month. Tracy, who was our last month's special guest?
Our last month's special guest was Ms. Laura Crevel. Laura really knows her stuff. She is an Olympic bodybuilding runner-up umpteen times, and I tell you, she is right on the money when she talked about the basics of weight training, getting a solid foundation with training. And also, she teaches her clients to be accountable so that they have confidence to train with the correct technique anywhere in the world without her. And that's a really good teacher. We really appreciate that because that's how we teach our people. Some of Laura's recipes look mighty fine. So thank you very much, Laura, for your expert interview.
Yep, Laura knows the iron. She knows the secret of steel. She grew up also in the Arnold era with a lot of hardcore bodybuilders. Of course, there was a lot of drugs around her, but it was still the beauty of the training and the hardcore element of facing yourself, being disciplined, showing up, doing the work. And of course, this is something today that people struggle with, is just showing up and doing the work, not just once or twice, but thousands of times. You know, the secret to success in training and health and life is to be repetitive and consistent without fail. That's the key. So, yeah, good on you, Laura, and she's got some great recipes. And I think that also what I learned from Laura, for personal trainers out there, you teach your student or client or the person that you're working with, teach them how to fish so that they're free to go and fish on their own. And what you have to do is let go and not create a dependency of them on you. You have to teach them how to do it. But what you should do in your business operandi is set up a service where they call you and you do consultations with your clients for the rest of their life, because everybody needs to check in. Everybody needs to be motivated. You should be doing weekly or monthly seminars, and then your people who you trained can ultimately go out and get certified, and you can get involved with that. So think big, start small, and of course, be consistent in your motion. Good stuff. So always great to have a new kind of individual as a special guest, someone who has a twist, a perception of life and training and health and what it's all about. And that's the function of our special guest order. And that is to bring people from all walks of life, from all expertise, from all research, nutrition, science, points of view, and then create a kaleidoscope of information that you can store, memorize, and utilize as tutorials through Emojication, and then draw upon that information when you need it, whether it's in the gym or in the office as a professional or for your own application. Okay, getting into our next segment, our CHI, Highway to Health Update. Tracy, take it away.
Have you checked in lately, Corey? Speaking of checking in. Anyway, our Highway to Health Update, geez, we've done so many things and it's only been 1 month since last SNU. Hula dance classes, that's my big thing. I went and bought my pow skirt. Now, this is not as easy as one would think, is hula lessons. I thought I could just walk right in there and bingo, bango, I'd have it all down. But no, it hasn't been the case. It's a whole new language, so you have to learn the language, how to pronounce the words, because when they teach you, they speak in Hawaiian. So that's a little confusing for me. And it's just really, really enjoying it. It's a really fun time, but I do have to do my homework. As I did with my ballroom dance classes, I always had to study. So I've been studying so Corey gets to watch me do my hula. He's enjoying it, aren't you, dear?
Absolutely. I really like going out for my evening walks and catching the Waikiki Hula Show. And then, based on timing, we'll walk down a little bit further into the jungle of Waikiki, and there is a hotel across the street from, I can't remember what the name of the hotel is, but anyway, there's kind of an outdoor musical presentation, and they've got hula and Hawaiian dancing and that beautiful Hawaiian guitar that I love that just kind of mesmerizes me and puts me into a trance. You know, and it's also kind of corny, and yet it's wonderful and beautiful, and regardless of the age of those hula dancers, we've seen them like they look like they're over 100 years of age and as little as 2 and 3, which are super little cuties. And the guys, you should see the guys do these hulas. It's unbelievable. But what I didn't know was that the Hawaiians had no written language, and their entire language originally was transferred through hula dancing. So hula, learning hula, is also the same thing as learning the Hawaiian language, and that's what makes it a little bit tough, right, Trace?
It certainly does. I'm just getting the feet patterns down where I commence the step and where I finish the step. I haven't even thought about the arm movements yet, but me being a technical person, that's what I like to do. Anyway, the next thing that we did is we went down to Chinatown, the Honolulu Chinatown, which we were told was quite exciting to go down there. There are parts, if you take a wrong turn, you could end up in the bad part of town. I think that all cities have that. But boy, you can buy some neat things in Chinatown. I just wanted everything. And the groceries are just so inexpensive. I'm just wondering now about the farmer's market that I've been going to. Everything seems expensive at the farmer's market. But we found some great deals and loaded up on umpteen papayas, didn't we?
Yeah, and again, this is all about getting to know your environment and getting out there and having fun doing it in the process. You know, Oahu is one of, I guess, the four main islands. There are 7 Hawaiian islands, and actually hundreds if you take it to the next level. But 7 main, one of which is the Forbidden Isle, Niihau, and then we've got 6 other islands. Lanai'i and Molokai'i are not islands that most people visit, but we plan to visit them. But the 4 main islands are Oahu and Hawaii, the big island, and then, of course, Maui and Kauai. And part of our dream plan with CHI is to move from island to island, fully integrate each island, however long it takes for each island, to get to know that island and to set up our camp for Camp Hawaii and have them at different times and different years on different islands. So you could definitely spend a lifetime here in Hawaii and not see everything. People think maybe that the islands are too small. No, absolutely not. There is a huge, incredible history here with philosophy, with religion, with legislation, with the United States and the Hawaiian culture and everything here on Oahu. That's just absolutely amazing. So right beside us, we happen to live by the Honolulu Zoo, which, as far as I know, is Tracy's second home.
You always got to get a dig in there. Yes, the Honolulu Zoo, and that was on Halloween that we went there, which was my birthday. So we've made a pact that every year we're going to go to a different zoo for my birthday, because if I say, if you can't be with the ones you love, party with the animals. The Honolulu Zoo was pretty cool, and the monkeys were in full form. They put on a real show for me, which I just could sit there and watch the monkeys all day long. And they knew I was there, and they were wishing me happy birthday, and it was great. They were just, they're loud, too. And the thing is, like, we're only 2 blocks from the zoo. And if you wake up really early in the morning, like 5 o'clock, you can hear them. You can hear the monkeys. And I always thought it was birds or the traffic. So now I know what that sound is, and they're loud.
Yeah, I quite enjoy the zoo, and I look at myself when I see the animals inside those cages, and it reminds me, and we were reminded constantly walking around with signs, you know, warning us not to feed the animals. And it always brings to my attention the fact that what we feed the animals is synonymous to how we as animals, manimals, hominids, homo sapiens, however you want to classify us, how we feed ourselves. And if we're feeding on animals that are not eating well, then we are not going to end up well. It's just so simple and so basic. We are what we eat eats. And I really get that. And I kind of see the domestication of an animal as being similar to the domestication of humans, and the ups and the downs, the positives and the negatives of each and what they represent. So for me, it's always sort of a philosophical experience. Plus, I just love animals, and of course, learning about them and reading up on them and their eating patterns and their livelihood and all the rest of it. So yeah, take a trip to Honolulu Zoo when you get out here. And of course, Halloween, what a freak show that was.
Yeah, we dragged ourselves out on Halloween night. We didn't dress up or anything like that, but I heard at the beach of Waikiki that we should take a trip down there because everybody's out in full form in their costumes. And so we thought, okay, we're going to go out and have a look. Well, I'll tell you, we walked about 3 blocks and we just couldn't take it anymore. There was hundreds of thousands of people. Well, it seemed like hundreds of thousands of people, and I bet you there was. Everybody was out of their hotel room, and man, they were in full form. Every street corner had people singing and dancing and playing instruments, and they were out in their costumes, and some people had some fantastic costumes, and you'd want to stand there with them and get your picture taken. It was really nice. There was no violence. It was very friendly, but it was very jam-packed. So we lasted about 3 blocks, which took us about 45 minutes to an hour just to walk that far. And then we took an exit, stage right, and I had my very first Mai Tai. So that was kind of cool.
Yep, there's always something going on in Waikiki and on the island of Oahu for sure. And they like to have a good time here, there's no doubt. And what's cool is that when you're a resident here, you're constantly indulging in the positive thoughts and experiences of the visitors, the people that are coming here with money in their pockets and with the intention of having a good time. They're leaving all their cares and all their worries behind. They're coming to Hawaii to enjoy, to let loose, and to hang loose, of course. So imagine hundreds of thousands of those kinds of people, and you're milling around them. And everyone's up and everyone's focused on having a great time. Everyone's been to the beach and getting sun. And of course, that has a positive effect in and of itself, the physiology of the whole thing. So that's what I really like. And it's bringing back memories when I used to live in Maui in the 80s, why I was there. And it was because of that. That's partly the reason, and also the land. I absolutely love the land here, the land that was praised by the original Hawaiians. The land is so beautiful and so rich and so fertile. It's unbelievable. The water, the green, the colors, the sky, the warmth, all that stuff. So, you know, that's going to bring us on to the next area where we ventured out into the wilderness again and took a bus out to what is called the Coco Crater. It's out by Hanama Bay. It's part of a big state park. And this is like a highway to hell, stairway up this crater. And, of course, it's not as long as the Grouse Grind. It's not like a 10K. It took me 17 minutes. It took Tracy around 25, I think. So it's not as long. It's not a long hike, but it's intense. It goes almost straight up these railway ties. This old railway that was actually built up this volcano head to the top by the military. It's all abandoned now, but it's a great hike, and it's a great exercise of discipline. You know, bring lots of water, protect yourself from the sun. But if you get out here, this is something that I would recommend.
Oh, yeah. It was interesting. It was as hot as Hades up there, but there was a trestle. And so at one point I was on my hands and knees on this trestle, but it was good. It was really great. I would take 20 steps and I'd take a break, 20 steps and I'd take a break. And these are like old railway tracks that go straight up the mountain. And I'd stop and I'd look around and then I'd get a little dizzy, take a deep breath, and I'd do 20 more steps and finally made it up the hill. And then I said, oh, that's it. And of course, if you're not done yet, you still have to go up a little bit more. So I said, oh, all right. Dragged me up there to the top, but it was beautiful. And there was all kinds of different types of flowers up there. You could actually see the crater. We took lots of pictures. You had a panoramic view. It really was worth it. But, you know, you need to be conditioned to do this, and you need to take plenty of water. And one of the things is when you do get to the top, maybe have an apple or a piece of pineapple or some grapes to really stay well hydrated when you're doing any kind of a hike, especially here when it is really warm.
I think that's a mistake that a lot of athletes make, is that they come to Hawaii from where they are and they're used to drinking a certain amount of water, and they don't compensate for the heat and the influence of the sun as you're pounding out the contractions of your body muscle. But there are all kinds of things that you can do here. You know, we've done Diamond Head and the Manoa Falls waterfall, and we're going to do a lot more of those. We're going to integrate. We're going to get into the land, the people. There are two locals. There are the original people and descendants of the Hawaiians and mixes of lots of Thai and Filipinos and Japanese and Korean. Very strong Oriental influence here. And then their foods and such. And then, of course, there are the new, more recent locals. These are the sons and daughters of the people, like the Americans that moved here and going way back to the plantations with pineapple growing and sugar cane. But anyway, there are generations of them now. And so there are the Californians and the Americans more recently, and they've come here and they've had babies and they're growing up in the school system. So there's the newer generation of locals and then the older generation, and they don't always necessarily mix, and so we're integrating into those. Because where Kama'aina is now, I have my driver's license, and that was a wonderful experience to go into the motor vehicle branch and be told by the desk clerk there that I have to smile to have my photograph taken. I mean, this is only in Hawaii, because I recently had my photograph taken for my BC driver's license, and I was specifically told not to smile, which I do not like, and I actually hate the concept of. Here they tell you to smile. So what does that tell you about Hawaii versus other parts of the world? And that aloha spirit, and about how people take their time and ease into things and drop the hammers and the nails when the waves are up and just leave the job site and go out body surfing or hitting the waves. I mean, that's fantastic. I met a wonderful guy. His name is Troy. He's a great musician. He plays down on Kalakaua, and he plays an electric ukulele. I bought his album. It's fantastic. It's called Ride Time. You could go on the internet, Troy Fernandez, Ride Time. His single on that album is great. And he's a surfer, and he's super cool, and it's just like we're just meeting all these cool people. I've been playing some ping pong at the Waikiki Community Center, met some new people there, And I'm starting to integrate with people that are working in the gyms, the personal trainers, the people that work in the health food stores. You've got to get out. You've got to be open and flexible and walk in with a smile and create relationship anywhere you are in life that leads ultimately to improving your business activities, because your business should be all about you. It really is all about you and the people that you are influencing and affecting. So any other final comments on our Highway to Health update, hon?
Yeah, so I think that wraps it up for our Highway to Health update, which is exciting because next month we'll have more things to tell you about, and it's really great because we take 2 days a week, we go out and we venture out. I think next time we're going to try the University of Hawaii and a few other places, so we're really looking forward to it because I'm going to sprint. That's a joke, but I really am going to try to do some sprinting, and Corey's going to be throwing the hammer. So we're excited about that.
Yep, I made contact with the Masters Track and Field Association here, which operates at the University of Hawaii, which if you're looking out on our Lanai, is just to the left, to the windward, I believe it's called, to the west. And yeah, there's just so much out there. Everywhere you are, there's just so much around you. And let's just take that word boredom or being bored away from our kids and put them to work if they've got nothing else to do. Okay, well, dear, that's it. It's time to roll it up. And it's pau hana, as they say here in Hawaii. What is your final word?
My final word is by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Adopt the pace of nature. Her secret is patience.